I invite you to take your scriptures and turn with me, please, to the New Testament book of Romans, Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, and we'll look at one verse of scripture there. We're continuing to unpack our key verse for this year. And last week we noted in our third message in this text, the measure of hope and the character of hope. And we found that the measure of God's blessing of hope carries the idea of a saturating fullness. And that hope is associated with joy and peace in the present and with eternal realities. And this morning I want us to continue our look at what God's word has to say about abounding hope. So let's read our text here this morning for Romans chapter 15, verse 13. We'll pray and then we'll get into God's word. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. The Apostle Paul writes, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Let's bow and pray as we ask God's blessing upon his word as we consider this morning the fourth message entitled A Prayer for Abounding Hope. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your loving kindness. Thank you that you care for us. And even though we might at times feel like nobody does, help us to believe the truth and to interpret our circumstances in the light of what you've said to be true, regardless of what our feelings might be saying to us or our thoughts might be saying to us or what others might even say to us. We thank you that your word is always true. And we thank you that your word has the power to transform because it's living. It's energized by your spirit. And we pray that today the spirit of God would indeed open our eyes to the truth that is here, that we would live the truth your word is teaching us, that we might know the answer to this prayer. It might be indeed a great blessing to each one of us. We need you to open our eyes today to see clearly your truth. And we pray that the spirit of God would be gracious to show us where our next spiritual step needs to take place. And so today, do your work in the hearts and lives of your people. And we pray that you would bring honor and glory to yourself in doing a work for which only you can take credit. Now, we ask your blessing upon your word. May there be clarity in presentation as well as clarity in understanding. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Someone once said that where there is no hope for the future, there is no power in the present. I believe the truth of that statement is easily seen in the following illustration. A number of years ago, some researchers performed an experiment to see the effect that hope would have on those undergoing hardships. Two sets of laboratory rats were placed in separate tubs of water. The researchers left one set in water and found out that within 1 hour, they all drowned. The others were periodically placed in a tub of water in which they would be lifted up from time to time and then returned back to that water. And when that repeatedly happened, they found that the second set of rats ended up swimming for over 24 hours. Now, why is that? It wasn't because they were given rest. It was because they suddenly had hope. They apparently were thinking and had somehow hoped that if they could just stay afloat just a little longer, perhaps somebody would reach down again and rescue them, pick them up out of the water. And so if hope holds such power for rodents, how much greater should be the power that its effect should have on our lives? Well, hope does have power. And the hope that our text says and speaks about in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, is not something that comes from circumstances or from our interpretation of circumstances. That's not where abounding hope is found. And the purpose of that hope goes beyond just our present circumstances that we're going through or immediate relief from distressing circumstances. Ultimately, it's a hope that brings great glory to God in the midst of our turmoil and the challenges to our faith. So here's the question I want us to ask and consider this morning as we think about all this. What power or impact does a God-focused Bible-based hope have on a person's life? And how does it affect his interpretation of life? Well, I want us to note the answer in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. And you'll find that the first impact is associated with the purpose or the result of God's filling us with joy and peace. Would you look at verse 13? Notice the scripture says, "The God of hope fill you all with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope." Look at that expression, "that ye may abound in hope." And that is the sixth, or rather the seventh thing I want you to see here, the effect of hope. Paul says that when God fills us with all joy and peace in believing, there's an impact, there is a powerful effect. And that first impact is that God wants us to be abounding in connection with the hope that he provides. This word that's translated "that" can also be translated here really "in order that." So in other words, grammatically, it can either be a purpose or a result clause. So the point is, God sends us all joy and all peace with a particular purpose in view. And that purpose is tied up in the word "abound." The word "abound" here is present tense. In other words, it carries literally the idea of an overflowing, an overabundance, a surplus of something, that which surpasses. So what is God's purpose in filling us? What's the intended impact? Well, here's the effect. This verse tells us, in order that there would be an overflowing in hope. In other words, we don't prosper when there is the absence of hope. In fact, we feel quite empty or depleted. So God's intent is that when he fills us with joy and peace using the channel of his word and our faith in that word, that we would experience the crowning effect, which is hope. As one commentator put it, hope is the crown of all of our blessings in Christ. On the back of our property right here off to my left, your right, we have a retention pond that is part of our stormwater management system. And floating on that pond is an aerator that sprays water into the air. And that aerator keeps the pond from becoming stale and covered with algae. And there are supposed to be fish swimming around inside that pond, keeping it clean, unless the alligators have come to enjoy them, and we do get alligators to visit us from time to time. But if they have not enjoyed them, they're there, I trust, doing their job. At least it appears that they are, because the pond is very clear and clean. My point in saying all of that is this. When you think of what Romans 15:13 is saying, when you think of joy and when you think of peace, I want you in your mind to form the mental image of a fountain that is spraying, as it were, into the air. Except instead of literal water, this fountain of joy and peace springs hope. Hope comes from this fountain. And the result of that is when we have that joy and have that peace and we have that hope that is springing up, we enjoy the positive benefits that that hope provides us. And our abounding comes about then by increasing the source from which that fountain of joy and peace pulls. It's our faith in God and his word. By believing the truth, as verse 13 tells us, believing the truth that he has revealed and rejecting the lies that our hearts generate that are embraced as substitutes for God's truth. In other words, the more joy and peace we possess, the greater our hope is going to be. And then as you think of that fountain out in the pond out there, what energizes that? Well, obviously electricity, but in this illustration and this analogy, what energizes the fountain of joy and peace so that it can operate as it should, ensuring us with the blessing of hope? Well, the answer to that is what we find next in Romans 15:13. And would you notice then, eighthly with me, the means of hope? the means of hope. And the key word here is at the end of that verse, through, that ye may abound in hope, or in order that ye may abound in hope, through the power of the Holy Ghost. This word through expresses the means by which we can abound in hope. Apart from him, we won't. Hope is produced in the mind by the agency and the power of the Spirit of God. Hope is natural to the mind of man, and you'll hear all kinds of people saying that they had hope to get through this or get through that, and we marvel at the hope that sustained them through some very difficult times, that survival seemed to be very minimal or least likely, yet they pulled through. Men can have a sustaining hope in the worst of times, but when it comes to divine things, hope is not natural to man. It is the work of the Spirit of God through faith in his Son. So this prayer then in verse 13 reminds us then that there is no blessing which does not come from God. And hope surely is one of those crowning effects or crowning blessings that we can experience. James 1:17 tells us that every good, did you notice that? Every good and perfect gift is from above. And comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So because God is unchanging and unchangeable, we can always count on him to provide us with good gifts, because he's a good God. And certainly hope is one of those crowning gifts. In the Bible, our Father is called many things. He's called the God of love, the God of peace, the God of patience, the God of consolation or encouragement, but here he's called the God of hope. And he fills his people with all joy and peace. So if we desire then to be filled with joy and peace, we have to look to God. One commentator put it this way: if we desire to abound in hope by the power of the Holy Ghost, we must pray with confidence to obtain his sacred influences and divine teaching. We must be careful not to grieve him by our evil conduct and our evil desires. Would you look again at verse 13 and notice another very important word? At the end of that verse, notice the word power. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. This is fascinating. This word that's translated power is from where we get our English word dynamite. And so the point is this: this hope that which we are to abound is an energizing hope that is supplied to us through the agency of God's Spirit. And that's the second impact, the powerful impact of an overflowing hope. It energizes us. It sustains us. As one commentator put it, back of our faith, peace, joy, and hope are God and the power of his Spirit. If we're feeling like we don't have the motivation to do what we know we need to do, if we're feeling like we're out of gas, so to speak, or burned out, perhaps it's time for us to come back to this prayer and realize that it is through the power, through the energizing of the Holy Ghost, that there is an overflowing, there is an abundance, there is a surplus of hope that empowers us, encouraging us to continue on. But then notice the words of the Holy Ghost here. By the way, if I can say this in passing, whenever you're reading in your Bible and you see the expression the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, those are synonymous terms for the same person, not two different people being referred to. It's just two different ways of referring to the same person. I say that to say this. When you look at verse 13, notice how the verse began. The God of hope fill you. And then at the end of the verse, the power of the Holy Ghost. So in passing, not only is this a wonderful statement of the deity of the Holy Spirit, but notice that two persons of the Godhead are brought into view as each being the giver of this gift of hope, this blessing of hope. The Father gives hope, because he's the God of hope, verse 13 says. But he gives hope through the agency of the Holy Spirit by the means of his energizing work. So my point in saying all that is this: this is where life is to be lived. This is reality. This is to be our Christian experience. We live not energized by our own self, nor by a looking to relationships as the key to a blessed life. Because it's easy for us to come to wrong conclusions that as long as I have this or that, or I've got this kind of job, or I've got this kind of status, or I've got this kind of set of circumstances, or I've got this kind of relationship, well, I can feel good. I can feel like I've got hope, and I can feel like I can continue on. But when we are deprived of a lot of those things that we look to for our own happiness, what do we do then? Well, the scripture here wants us to be encouraged that the blessed life is not determined by relationships or possessions, privileges, or power. Rather, it's through the Holy Ghost that we are to live. So we are to live then in the constant, surrounding, pervading presence of the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter, the one called alongside to help us. He enables us to realize the impact that our union with Christ has when we're born again, and then the communion that we're to have with Christ because we have fellowship with him, as well as fellow believers that we engage with. One commentator put it this way: it is the Spirit who enables believers to experience in this life the blessings of the life to come, to which our hope has a forward look. Another one wrote, the grand object of their hope is the glory of God. I love the song that was sung earlier, in which takes from 1 Corinthians, Paul says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So let me try to put all this together. And in summary, let me say it this way. Here's what we have from verse 13. Everything that you find mentioned in verse 13 is in connection with the Spirit's power through whom God bestows everything as he works in our hearts. And the channel the Spirit of God uses is going to be his word that we are to fully embrace and express our confidence in. And our faith, our believing, is to help us with the proper interpretation of life's circumstances and the conclusions we draw in our minds about others, ourselves, and our situations, as it is all to rest upon God's truth. So let me say it this way. As we are saturated with God's joy and peace because we are believing God's truth, we are abounding, that is, we are overflowing with a spirit-energized hope that is God-focused and Bible-based. So this wonderful prayer then is also a beautiful promise for us to enjoy each day. So Paul concludes this lengthy section from chapter 14, verse 1, all the way down to chapter 15, verse 13, by pointing both Gentile and Jewish born-again believers to their God and their common salvation. While they were facing threats to their harmony and unity in the body, because they were having disagreements in controversial matters, in addition to the threats from the persecution from without. So in a sense, they were fighting battles on two fronts. From without, because Rome and other Jews hated them and were persecuting them, but unfortunately also from within, because they weren't getting along with fellow believers. And the controversies that they had were very real, and they threatened the harmony of the body. So this verse, then, is the solution to those problems. And it's interesting to me that Paul uses three titles of God in doing so to indicate the benefits that were needed by these believers, whether Jew or Gentile, and where they could obtain them. Would you look at verse 5 of Romans chapter 15, just a few verses up? Notice, Paul says, now may the God of patience or endurance. There are some people that we just need to be long-suffering towards. And there are some things that we just have to endure. But God gives us that because he's the source of it. And then would you look again in verse 5, it says he's also the God of consolation, or the God of encouragement. And then in verse 13, he's called the God of hope. So with our hearts and minds focused upon God and the welfare of others rather than upon self and self's desires, we find both the source and the motivation for harmonious Christian fellowship. So Paul's prayer here in Romans 15, 13 then suggests to us that the outcome of an harmonious Christian fellowship affects the individual Christian's life this way. There is the fullness of joy, there is the fullness of peace, and the abundance of hope, all of which brings constant and increasing glory to God. Would you notice, please, in verse 13, nothing is said there about favorable circumstances. Nothing is said there about having favorable relationships, though we all would like to have them, and Paul wanted them to have it as well. Notice God is the center of all of this, and he's to be the center of our focus. And if we're lacking hope, it probably is because God is absent from the picture of our thinking. He's been replaced with something else that is of greater significance to us or weighs more heavily on our hearts. So in conclusion, let me just say it this way. Romans 15, 13 reveals both the effect of hope. We overflow continually. We overflow. There is a surplus. We abound in connection with this hope. And the means whereby that hope comes is the Holy Spirit, which supplies us with an energizing hope using the means of his power. So as I began the message this morning, I conclude with the same. Where there is no hope in the future, there is no power in the present. So what do we get the power? It's from the Holy Ghost. You won't find it within. You won't find it without. So I want to close this morning by asking, are you in need of hope today? What is it that you're facing that you would say this, and you fill in the blank, is robbing me of hope? Well, the wonderful news is that God is not only the source of hope, our object of hope, but he can supply it in rich abundance. And how do we know we can possess hope? Because this verse tells us, the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing, in order that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So may God grant the answer to this prayer in your life and mine. And like Paul, let's pray that prayer also. Let's pray for ourselves. Pray for those whom we love, this prayer for abounding hope.